Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Wednesday evening, January 11th, almost 10 p.m. Eastern. That means it's time for the Under the Radar podcast here at Hoops
I've
HD.
got my seed list ready to go.
Under the Radar tonight.
Oh.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. John Salika next to me. Below me, joining us from Bracketeer.org, it's Rocco Miller, who is simultaneously at three or four games while he's doing this podcast, yes. I believe. And David Griggs next to him.
Woohoo!
This is our Under the Radar show, and Griggs, why don't you tell everybody who doesn't know what Under the Radar is?
Well, it's been altered a little bit, but what it is, it's typically the 21 normally one bid leagues. There's no rule that says those teams can only get, or those conferences can only get one bid. I think we have two or three that we think could certainly get more than one bid, but it is the conferences that aren't normal multi-bid leagues. That would be the Power Five, the Big 10, Big 12, Pac 12, SEC, and ACC, and plus the other four this year, regular multi-bid leagues, which is the Mountain West, the West Coast, the Big East, and the American. We did have an addition. The Atlantic 10 was so bad, they had no one in the top 100 of the net that I think, was it just you or was it a group decision that arbitrarily moved them down to under the radar? So we're going to be discussing the A10 tonight instead of on the Hoops HD report.
Yes,
the other, yeah, okay.
Go ahead, keep going.
There's one more disqualifier. It's a team that's in the top 25 polls, either the AP or the coaches. So College of Charleston, who had a big game tonight, we'll actually talk about it, not because of them, because of their opponents, but we will not be talking about CFC tonight.
Yes, they were. But all those programs were covered two nights ago on our Hoops HD report. We'll cover them again next Monday. But we like to go through these after 22 conferences, 23 now with the A10, plus a few other special conferences at the end. We like to do them in alphabetical order, except for a feature conference of the night. And I have not actually gone through and watched, you know, every year we don't get to every conference as a feature conference. There's not enough weeks in the season to have a feature every single conference.
There's but 18 weeks. There's 23 conferences.
23 conferences.
22,
right?
Yeah.
But I can pretty much guarantee you that we have featured this conference tonight's conference every single year, at least once, because it is by far our favorite conference here at Hoops HD. It is the only conference who's never had a team win a round of 64 game. They've won NCAA tournament games, but they've always been playing games or first four games. Of course, I'm talking that it is time to make the Northeast Conference our feature conference, a league that is incredibly special this year. When you look at the net ratings, there is, Rocco, let me look at this here. Every single team that is postseason eligible is 300 or worse at the net. I mean, let's just ink this team in, not only for Dayton, but for the number 68 on the seed list.
Yeah, I think the only way that gets prevented is if we get a wild upset in the SWAC or the MEAC or somebody else, maybe the OVC, where like their bottom seed wins their tournament. It's been a rough go for the entire NEC in terms of, you know, anybody having a good non-conference. You know, Sacred Heart and Fairleigh Dickinson, I guess Wagner as well, are the only three schools that are at 500 or above. And so, you know, Fairleigh Dickinson's only there because they're 3-0 in the league. It's been tough. It's been tough out
there. It's also a good thing you don't have a team like a Bryan in here, because they would have had a net probably in the low to mid 200s, but alas, they've moved on to the America East.
Yeah, we've lost a few teams, but that doesn't matter. We do have new teams coming in, including the Stoners there at 3-1, the best net in the conference, though. But Griggs, Wagner was a team that we liked kind of heading into conference play, just absolutely collapsed. They lose a game at Stoner, then they lose a home game to St. Francis of PA this week.
Yeah, a little bit of a surprise there. Especially the home loss to SFPA. It was a close game, but it was one that you would expect them to dominate. They were kind of the ones that we liked going in. I guess I kind of like Fairleigh Dickinson off to the 3-0 start. SFPA also 3-0, although they were so unimpressive out of conference.
They had one D1 win non-conference. Yeah, it was a rough non-conference for SFPA.
But maybe we still like Wagner. When you look at these scores, and this is typical of this league, Five of them were by 5 points or less. I want to say seven or eight of them came down to the under four timeout to where it you know, the game was still in question. The one reason we like this league, and I know it sounds like we're kind of making fun of it. We are having fun to an extent, but the reality is the level of intensity and competition in this league, if you're not used to watching it, is much, much higher than what you would expect. And if you give it a chance and you download that free, and it is free, it's not like Flow or some of these others, NEC Front Row app,
Or go to NECFrontRow.com if you're on the computer. Yeah. It's there too.
And you spend a week following this conference, you're going to be like, oh man, that is it's crazy. The atmospheres are crazy. The rivalries are crazy. It's just a wild, fun league.
And assuming that both Long Island and St. Francis of Brooklyn lose on Saturday, we could have a battle for the first win of the season, bottom two teams, but one of our favorite rivalries in all of college basketball coming up Monday night. It is round one of the Battle for Brooklyn. It is SFBK at Long Island.
And they're still the Blackbirds, as far as I'm concerned.
This is the Long Island Sharks.
It's the Blackbirds.
Whether you like it or not.
By the same token, don't overlook a classic Northeast 10 matchup coming on Saturday between Mary Mack and the Stoners.
And yes, that is the Stonehill Stoners. We can in fact confirm that if we just look here on their team sheet.
Yes.
They allege that they are the Skyhawks, but we know the truth here. We know it.
It's on the team sheet, so it must be true.
This is a conference. It's always off to always a rough season. This may be one of the roughest seasons it's ever had, because it's not even one team that's kind of like shown a little bit of life here. It's But we still love this league. We absolutely love this league.
And
all eight of those games on there are must-see TV as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the rest of the leagues in alphabetical order. Like I said, it will start things off in the America East, where Rocco, I'm all in. I believe, despite the surprising loss Sunday to Albany, UMass Lowell bounces back tonight and beats Vermont by 15 points.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that one. The Albany loss just was so disgusting. I mean, a 26-point loss to a team. I mean, that is just – Albany hasn't done much all year. And, again, tonight Albany loses – I guess tonight's loss, not too bad, 9 to UMBC. I like UMBC. But maybe it was just the kick in the butt they needed to, you know, remind themselves that they got to show up every night. They certainly showed up tonight. Vermont's now lost two straight, just lost to New Hampshire last weekend. So, and that's a New Hampshire team that's tied for first with them. So it's a very interesting America East race. I think all preseason and even most of November, everybody thought it was going to be Vermont Bryant going to be awesome. Almost penciled in into the championship game. And now we're sitting there looking at UMass Lowell, New Hampshire, the sleeper team, and UMBC playing well enough to maybe make a run to the America East Championship game. So leagues wide open. UMBC beat Bryant last week, which was an awesome road win for UMBC. So a lot of stories here. I like it.
New Hampshire is probably the biggest surprise. I mean, aside from Lowell blasting Vermont after getting blasted by a weak Albany team, it took me a minute to kind of catch on to them, because you're like, all right, they beat, they didn't look good at all against Binghamton, but they went to Vermont and won, and that's a big one.
Yep.
And sadly, I think we have a familiar face at the bottom of the league right here, because I don't think Boston College prepared the Black Bears for the rigors of the classic Yankee Conference.
With Albany having that win now over the current top team, that put them the edge up here for any tiebreakers also. I would say an Albany versus Maine tiebreaker for the eighth spot in the conference.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Maine may not even make the top eight and may not make the conference tournament. So here comes a Saturday. Lowell is at Binghamton. Albany's at NJIT, Maine at UMBC, Bryan at New Hampshire, Vermont actually off until next week. Hartford getting a lot of games in against America East teams this year, despite not being in the America East and Northeast Conference teams as well.
Yeah.
See Hartford showing up there on the schedule. Let's keep things rolling here over to the A's Sun, though, at Stalika. How about them Hatters?
You know, the Hatters continue to maintain some of their momentum from earlier in the year. They get a nice win against cross-state Jacksonville, and they also go to a North Alabama team that's shown a little bit of life in their first season being tournament eligible. So I can't recall the last time the Hatters have actually been at the top of a conference this late in the season.
Yeah, Rocco.
This late in the season. They
did make that run to the ASUN title game the year they were ineligible for the ASUN tournament. I still look at this as a Liberty Gulf Coast thing, despite where Stetson's sitting, though. Do you agree with me?
Me?
Well,
Rocco. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I think this league's a lot more wide open than that. I do agree that, you know, power rating wise, Gulf Coast, they proved themselves. They won their MTE. They won at USC. I think they're unbeaten at home. Going to be very tough to win down there at Alico Arena. Liberty has shown some vulnerability, you know, much like other seasons when they're not shooting it well. Anybody, I think, can beat them. You know, Eastern Kentucky led almost wire to wire on Sunday. I had that one pulled up on my tablet while I was at the UCF game. great win for EKU, by the way. But I think there's a lot of quality, you know, much more than those teams. Kennesaw State's a very veteran club, capable. They won at VCU this year. You look at what Queens did to start the year, starting to cool off now. Austin Peay has a lot of talent. They knocked off, I believe it was, Gulf Coast last week. So,
yes,
you know, and we know teams like North Alabama, Bellarmine, and Lipscomb are very well coached. So, and Jacksonville, they still have a ridiculous home winning streak. I don't think they've lost at home in over 2 years. So there's a lot of really solid teams. I didn't even talk about Stetson, who's 4-0. I think this league's pretty wide open. Now, I agree, Chad, that Liberty and Gulf Coast just a notch above, but I could see any of those other teams I listed doing some damage here and maybe even stealing the bid.
All right. Well, here's the upcoming schedule. Stets is at Bellarmine and at EKU, so it's a pair of road games at least, although against kind of the bottom. Well, EKU is actually but not really the bottom half of the league this year. And a big game, though, coming up Saturday, Griggs. It is a cross-town rivalry, Jacksonville at Jacksonville State.
Yeah, I mean, the battle for Jacksonville, and you just throw the record books out when those two get together.
Jacksonville State might want to start getting their motors running here, because if there's only a fixed number of teams that qualify for the ASUN, Ray Harper won't even get a chance to do his conference tournament magic.
Yeah. Okay. Normally he finishes toward the bottom and then wins the conference tournament.
They're either going 8 or 12 this year. They're definitely not taking all 14 though. So our newest addition to Under the Radar, the A-10 conference, and maybe it's worth taking a real close look at this Dayton team, who has been picking up these wins. And let me pull up their team sheet over here on the left side here, Griggs.
Yeah. Okay. So Dayton was a team that was in the preseason top 25, and understandably so. They had a really highly rated recruiting class that was entering its second year, and they had a really good year last year, where if you took probably, I guess it was the second week out of the 18-week season, Dayton probably gets in last year. The problem was they weren't healthy at the beginning of the year. They had a few chances, missed on every single one. As you see, they're not really beating anybody. But they're really playing well now, and they look really good. And not only are they winning games, they're winning games decisively. Like, they look like they are not just the better team, but the superior team. And they have a really good chance, and I mean a really good chance of winning out. It could very well be that Dayton's next loss is in the round of 32 or maybe even the Sweet 16. The problem is all of those wins probably aren't going to get them there. So one of their wins better be that last A-10 tournament game. I'll let Rocco comment on this.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask Rocco. I mean, if you play things out where they are right now, they do win out. You do have a pair of tier two wins possible here at VCU, at St. Louis.
Is that enough?
Maybe even the home game against St. Louis could sneak into tier two. But Rocco, if they, let's say they wouldn't lose one game regular season and lose in the A-10 semifinals or finals, can they make it?
You would have to probably assume they'll get in, my opinion. I think, you know, no, I know it's a really down historical year for the A-10. But to go through this league with just one or two losses, think the committee would have a ton of respect for that. I think you would be looking at a Dayton team with over 25 wins. I think maybe what, 26 or 27 or 28. That would be a very difficult team to leave out of the field, especially when you knew coming into the year that they were a top 15 talent wise team. And even right now, you know, they're on a 7-game win streak. None of those 7 games have been by 12 points or less. I mean, they've beaten everybody by 12 or above. 3 of those have been on the road. They're not all slouches. Davidson and Fordham were quad three right now on the road. And Duquesne's been maybe arguably the second best team in the A-10. They blew them out as well. And they're doing it all without Kobe Elvis and without Malachi Smith, who only played 4 games and 7 games respectively. They're going to get both those guys back potentially as soon as this weekend. So they're still playing shorthanded, and they found a way to start demolishing teams with the guys they got. And now they're just going to add to the fuel to the fire with these next 2 guys coming back. So I think sky's the limit. They could definitely win that many games. And you know, for their sake, hopefully they do, because this is a team that could go really deep in the tournament.
Yeah, and their next opponent here is up on the right here is VCU. Rams fans believe that they are in the bubble right now. I don't know why, but
they're not even on the NIT bubble. But right, here's the thing, and I realize we got a lot to get to. We got to move on, but the only team, Rocco, that I can think of that did not have any top 100 wins or any wins against anybody in the NIT that landed inside the bubble was the Davidson team with Steph Curry the year they went to the Elite Eight. That team was a 10 seed. They won the SoCon tournament. And you got to wonder, would they have even been a 10 had they not won that tournament? I think the committee would have selected them because they were several lines inside the bubble. But you don't often see – now, St. Louis might be an NIT team. You just don't see, no matter – how bloated the record is, we've seen 28 win teams left out if they didn't at least beat somebody in the NIT. But we got
to
get
going. Yeah, we do have to move on. This for VCU, though, they do have like 2 games against Dayton and St. Louis, and if they could get maybe a 5th or 6th game in the Atlantic 10 tournament, they could at least be discussed. But they're a long
for the NIT. No, they
can't.
Yeah, this is an under the radar league.
If VCU does not lose again until the A-10 finals, let's talk a little VCU, but they're yeah. You know, maybe before then, but I don't see it, and they've got to win at Dayton on Friday. That's their most important game of the entire season. Let's keep things rolling here, though, over to the Big Sky Conference. And Rocco, you know, I've been singing the last couple weeks the praise of this Eastern Washington team, and they just find a way to keep winning games.
Yeah, the Eags are hot, and credit to David Riley and his staff. You know, I thought what they did a couple weeks ago, sweeping the Montana schools on the road, you know, if anybody in the Big Sky will tell you, that's one of the most impossible things to do. They did it to start the league, and then held serve at home. Portland State's a tricky team. Sac State has a lot of talent, and they held them off in a 3-point win. That game was back and forth all night long Saturday. So they're feeling good. 10-7 overall, 4-0 in the league. And played a tough non-conference. You know, they went all over the place. They went and played in an FIU tournament where they played Stony Brook and FIU. They went all, you know, they went down to Hawaii to start the year. They went to Texas Tech. And, you know, those don't really mean a lot to most people when just looking at it on paper. But what it does is it builds a lot of time to bond together, a lot of tough experiences. They lost most of those games. And you're seeing now how that can pay off when league play starts.
Yeah, we also see Idaho State off to a 3-0 start. Almost surprising one at Weber State over the weekend. Yeah. Montana State off to a good start as well. Here's the upcoming schedule, though, in the league. We see Eastern Washington is going to be hosting Idaho and hosting Montana, so they get a couple of home games in this week.
I think they win both of them.
But Griggs, let me ask you about the Big South Conference here, where one of our favorite rivalries was played over the weekend. It was, of course,
the Wynwood Cup.
The Wynwood Cup, and Longwood gets the 85-71 win.
Oh, it never gets old. For a second, it's just kind of funny to think that we were kind of big on High Point. I am no longer big on High Point. I just want to be on the record as saying that. I do like Longwood. They've been the team that I've liked all year long. And while some other teams might have been a story, I just think that it's it's kind of their league to win if they keep. Well, obviously they haven't lost yet, so if they keep going at the rate they've gone, they've been going at, I think they win the league. They finish first. They'll get the tournament on their home court, and I think we'll see them back in the NCAA tournament.
They have a real interesting game actually coming tomorrow night, Salika. They're at UNC Asheville. Asheville's been a little bit surprising so far in league play.
Asheville was a team that probably about 5 or 10 years ago used to be a featured team in the Big South right here. And at the moment, they're in second place themselves. But with the logjam in the middle, Winthrop and Campbell, who are going to be playing each other over the weekend, are actually tied for seventh right now. So it's a pretty tight-knit league right now.
And that's actually, we see that a lot. We see that. Yeah. This conference tends to bunch up. And if Longwood can, you know, get the sweep this week, you know, beating, winning at Asheville tomorrow night, beating Upstate on Saturday, beating Gardner Webb next Wednesday, they could really, you know, start to pull away from this league. But again, this might be the end of the radar game of the day tomorrow night, Longwood at Asheville.
Yeah, because, I mean, it is extremely pivotal, at least for Asheville. They win, they're tied, and they have the tiebreaker. If they lose, they're two games back without it and kind of in that logjam in the middle. So, yeah, I mean, as early as it is, that is an extremely pivotal game.
Right. Rocco, out west, again, here, the Big West Conference.
Love this conference.
It seems like every year, or maybe, I mean, I guess every now and then it isn't, but it always seems to be Santa Barbara and Irvine. And here they are tied for first, both at 3-0 at league play.
Well, 3-0 in league play, and they haven't played each other obviously yet, and that's going to be a big in a couple of weeks. I think they play towards the end of January. Hawaii, UC Riverside, and Fullerton, I think, are all respectable contenders on the outside of those top two. Hawaii, I think most of us know, has shown out, winning the Diamond Head Classic for the first time ever, playing well, playing well on the mainland as well. Didn't stub their toe against UC San Diego, so that's is a relief, because, you know, the Rainbow Warrior fans are always worried about how they'll play over here on the mainland. Usually not as good. And Fullerton's a team, they've won four of their last six and took out Hawaii in overtime.
And they won at Riverside last week.
And they
also
won at won at Riverside by 15. I should mention Riverside's playing without their best player, Zion Pullen. He's out again tonight as we record this. He's missed their last couple. Not the same Highlander team without Zion, so hopefully he gets back. But the Big West, top to bottom, if you look at the metrics, I mean, one of the first times you'll see them in, like, the top 16. I think they're 16th best conference. So it's been a quality league. You know, teams like Cal Poly getting some wins. Cal State Northridge beat San Diego. So there's a lot to be excited about for the future of the Big West, I think.
Yeah, and if you look at the upcoming schedule here, there's a lot of games coming up tonight. So by the time most of you are watching this, these games will be the final. Maybe there'll be an upset that we missed discussing, but there's the rest of the schedule, including Circleist one Monday night, under the radar game, Salika, Santa Barbara at
the
Irvine.
The Gout Cheater Cup.
The Gout Cheater Cup. You going to be there, Rocco?
I'd love to. I don't know if I can get there by Monday, but I'll see that.
All right. Salika, over in the Colonial, College of Charleston is above the radar. They are in the top 25, but they had a heck of a game tonight at Wilmington. And any thoughts on them, on Wilmington, and on the rest of the conference, other than
I was doing a bit of a scoreboard watching on my phone at a game that was decidedly not under the radar. Wilmington was down, I think, as much as 11 or 12 in the first half and kept chipping away against the team that shall not be named, but ultimately missed an opportunity to put themselves in first place by their lonesome right here. You also look at a team like Kostra, who got a pair of road wins themselves against Hampton and William and Mary, throwing another what amounts to a bye game against Monmouth right here. So the Pride are only a game behind the team that shall not be named.
You can say their name. We're just not discussing them at much length here. Yeah. But this Wilmington team,
what a game,
was down huge in the first half. Had the great comeback. Had multiple chances to win it at the end. Couldn't quite pull it off. But Griggs, I don't take anything away from this Wilmington team, even though they were at home and they should have maybe won the game. But I still like them a ton.
Yeah, I don't either. Their profile is a little bit flimsy as far as making a run at the bubble. But if they could get some sort of like what we used to see in the old Missouri Valley days, the road win exchange program, and go to Charleston and win and then blow through the rest of it. Rocco's the one that that does the better job guessing the committee. There isn't much there, but a road win at Charleston is a big deal.
It is. Yeah. I mean, right now that's a Q2, I believe. And it's already showing up here on Warren's site as a 2A. So 2A, even better than a 2B, obviously. So that matters. They got three wins in 2A. Kent State sitting there at 50. Now you got to imagine they might continue to drop because the MAC will eventually bite them at some point.
Oh, well, you're talking Charleston, not Wilmington.
No, we're talking Wilmington. They have the win against North Texas, and if they can blow through the league and get a win at Charleston,
at Charleston, yeah. And I said this earlier. I was talking to, I think the Charleston Holy City Hoops. If you guys haven't heard of them, they're awesome podcast. Check them out. But so I was talking to them, and I was like, hey, the best thing for the CAA is if each of the road team wins, do the exchange program. So leg one achieved tonight for the Cougars. Well, February, I believe, is it the 11th? It will be February 8th. Thank you. Will be the round two in Charleston. So the Seahawks need to bring it and return the favors.
I'll give you one better, Rocco. The best thing for the Clodeels if Charleston wins that game also, and then loses to Wilmington in the CAA championship game. That's the best thing for the Colonial. That's a lock for two teams.
Granted that Charleston doesn't lose to any of these 10 teams that are like 200 or worse, which is the reason why the CAA is like the 23rd best league right now. That's a problem.
Charleston's at home this week with Elon and William and Mary. Wilmington's at home with actually the same two teams. I guess this is one of those travel partner deals there. Yeah. We've been kind of delaying a little bit, but we can talk a little bit. Conference USA, and I have a little magic button we can hit here. It might freeze the screen up for a second, but we have some final scores that just showed up here, including Florida Atlantic with an overtime win tonight, Griggs, at Florida International as we've been recording this. And North Texas surviving a scare from Louisiana Tech.
Yeah. Let's start with the feature game. Florida Atlantic behind most of the game to a decent at best Florida International team. This would have been a really bad loss, at least in terms of making a run at the bubble because of how poor they are in the net. And while it was a road game, I still think that's hard to bounce back from when you're not playing in a power conference and you don't have the opportunities to offset it with high caliber wins. So FAU maybe not shooting themselves in the face with a loss tonight, but certainly shooting themselves in the foot and avoiding it. So a real nice win for them. North Texas, I like this team. I know they had to sweat tonight, probably not their best night, but if you can have a bad night and still get a win, in some ways that's a testament to how good you are. And if North Texas wants onto the radar, they want a high caliber win, they want to get the attention of the committee. If they win the next one, I think that's they'll have it.
Huge game cut up Saturday.
Yeah. Massive game.
Yeah, a couple
Rocco thoughts. Will be there.
Yeah, jump in here, Rocco.
Yeah, no, a couple thoughts. So
Rocco's going to be there.
Yeah.
God, I wish. Yeah. It was, first of all, I just want to say it was a blast being there for the UAB game last Thursday. A great game. FAU pulled it out late by two clutch plays, John L. Davis, career night. And, you know, found out through that process, meeting some of the people there, that they have a couple designated tailgate days per season. For Florida Atlantic students, and it's a rowdy student base, as you guys can imagine.
Yeah.
And this just happened to be this North Texas game coming up this Saturday, one of the designated tailgate days. They're going to be out there early. The place is going to be rocking. The difference between that and the UAB game I was at on a Thursday night is the students weren't back, and they still almost filled the place up with just local residents and upperclassmen. So
yeah,
I expect a rowdy crowd Saturday.
Yeah, and this team, I mean, this community of alumni and locals really getting behind this FAU team. You kind of wish the media would start to pay a little more attention to them because
they just barely missed the top 25 this week.
Okay, so they're starting to get they're starting to get some momentum. But what a story! And this is not College of Charleston is a great story, but they've had a level of success in a history, in a tradition. FAU has not. I don't recall them even being decent, let alone good like this ever.
Right. Yeah. And I did a little research on that. You know, the coach now, Dusty May, genius coach. He's their all-time winningest coach, and he's like 14 games over 500. They've hired guys like Michael Curry, Mike Jarvis, Matt Doherty, and the like, and none of them been able to get that program into a winning program. Nobody's finished over 500 in their coaching career. Most of them last about 4 years. Dusty May is now in his fourth year. I'm sure his agent's already getting blown up with calls. Keep your ears open for him and the coaching carousel. But before any of that happens, enjoy the ride, Owls, because this is a ton of fun right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't want to forget here, UAB is the other team of note that we were paying a lot of attention to this conference. They lost the game against Florida Atlantic, a real good game.
It was a great game.
But then they go on Saturday and they blow a game at FIU, and that was
that's
shooting a couple digits off.
It really was. I'll defer to Rocco, but in my estimation, they're still as good and still as talented, and their ceiling is just as high as it was, but their resume, which is what is evaluated by the committee, just isn't there now. And minus literally winning out to the semifinals or the finals, I don't think he can get there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they will get Florida Atlantic in Birmingham. That's coming up, let's see, February 2nd. So just about 3 or 4 weeks from now. But yeah, like they also get two North Texas games. North Texas is a top 40 net team right now. So you can't completely write them off. You know, I think this league has got enough depth. Unfortunately, this hurts the depth, right? Like you lose to FIU and all of a sudden you saw UAB go from like a top 50 to like a close to 80 team.
And they're struggling with Western Kentucky at home right now as we record this.
They're really?
But they're only up five late. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think part of it is, you know, like you could probably say this for any league, but we'll use CUSA as an example. These teams just know each other so well. They have great game plans, advanced scouting, understand the star players' tendencies. And even when you're playing the middle of the pack or bottom of the barrel team, you can a lot easier to have an off night against a team like that than a non-conference team that doesn't know you very well. And it just plays into the whole league dynamics. And it's very, very difficult. That's why it's so difficult to go, you know, whatever, 16-2, 17-1 in any league. Because these teams are just so advanced in their scouting and so much prep goes into the game plan.
Yeah.
North Texas FAU, after that game, FAU is going to be at Western Kentucky Monday night. North Texas is going to be at Florida International, which we know UAB lost there. We know Florida Atlantic struggled there, so they don't want to overlook that game coming off.
It's the court. Saturday. I blame the floor. It's an
ugly, they got water ugly, all over the court. It's floor. Awful. Yeah, Salika, Horizon League time. And you know, is it time to start paying attention to those Milwaukee Panthers who have been so awful in recent years?
Northern Kentucky did give them a bit of a window because they split against Detroit and Oakland here. So with Milwaukee winning at Cleveland State and Purdue Fort Wayne, these are two teams that have been near the top of the league right here. In fact, I think the last time Milwaukee made the championship game of the conference was Laval Jordan's only year up in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and the other story that we've been following is the ninth place team here, Detroit Mercy. Antoine Davis, as we record this, up to 3,159 points, 6 points behind Alfonso Ford. Real good chance, even though he had 5 years to do it in, he's going to finish at least in second place all time. Outside shot, he can even catch Pistol Pete, although I don't think it's going to happen.
Probably not.
But that's going to be a story, especially as we get into the next few weeks of the season here. He's going to be all over the place with
what
that.
A hell of a story.
But and there's going to be an asterisk over this because of the extra season, though. Mm-hmm. Upcoming games of this conference here, Milwaukee and Northern Kentucky coming up tomorrow night. Also the under-the-radar game of the night, Salika, correct?
Yeah.
Every single game seems to be.
Ask me at 7 in the morning once the game is published on the website.
All right. Griggs over in the Ivy League here. You know, Yale loses again on Friday night to Dartmouth.
Yeah, and at home to Dartmouth, which was I'm not expecting that. They went to Harvard and got a decent win there the next night. Maybe looking ahead a little bit, but
it's right Princeton, now. What about Princeton with that sweep of Columbia and Cornell? I mean, that was on the road.
It was, and the win at Cornell was particularly impressive. I really like this Cornell team. I still probably like them the best, but like in the sample size that we have a conference play, how do you not applaud Princeton for going on the road and winning? And we're starting to see the symmetry of the conference go about how we had expected, with, you know, Dartmouth, Columbia, Brown not in the mix, and then the other five fighting it out for the top four spots.
Well, we might, but if you look at this conference standings, everyone has a conference win already. So, which is pretty rare. Only three games in, that everyone's got a win already. So, congrats to everybody for that, at least.
Right, but you know, amazingly, Brown not three games out of first. Neither is Columbia or Dartmouth after just three games being played.
Princeton on the road again this week. This week at Brown on Saturday, and then their big rivalry game at Penn coming up on Monday. So round one of that rivalry game. So that's probably the game of the week here in the Ivy League. It's going to be the Princeton-Penn game coming up Monday night. Rocco, over in the Metro Atlantic, we want to talk about upsets. What the heck happened to Iona on Sunday?
I mean, Quinnipiac shot the lights out from what I could tell. I was juggling.
You're at the game, weren't you?
Rocco, at that game.
I was technically above the radar at UCF, even though they're not a high major until next year. First time I saw the score, Quinnipiac was up 20, I believe. And there was no looking back for the Bobcats. 81-58, the final. I just pulled up the shooting numbers for the Bobcats that night. And it wasn't too crazy by the end. Shot 47%. They've got a solid team. I mean, look at what they did in the non-league. I think this is a real contender. Started 7-0 on the year. That included Stephen F. Austin, Montana State, Rhode Island on the road. Solid for an MAAC school. And now they're starting to get rolling again. They've won at Ryder on the road. Now they've got the Iona win. 3-3 in the league after a brutal start. They got swept on a road swing to St. Peter's and Siena. Didn't help. And speaking of Siena, that's another team I'd like to bring up.
I believe that Siena game was a home game for Quinnipiac, actually, that they lost.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. So power to the Saints with that already under their belt. 5-0, of course, in the league. A team that beat Seton Hall and Florida State in the Orlando tournament. So they've beaten some high majors. Good talent for the Saints. A real solid across-the-board team, shooting it at 60th best three-point shooting team in the country, 35th best free throw shooting team in the country, the Saints. So you can't foul them, and you've got to respect their deep threat.
So as always, it's going to be Iona and Siena in the Metro Atlantic. That seems to be every single year in this conference. Coming up this week here, Iona is hosting Fairfield and Ryder, Siena at Niagara at Canisius. So those are the key games though. But Stalika, let me go back to you. So we head over to one of your favorite conferences here, the Mid-American Conference, and Kent State, who picked up the win last night over Toledo. There was a closer game than that 12-point final, but they did get the win.
It had to feel bad for the Rockets here, given the timing, because Mother Miami actually did put up a pretty game effort against Kent State on Saturday here. They never completely went away, but Kent State did what good teams will do, and they were able to escape an environment like that. And you look at their wagon wheel rivals in Akron, they also survived against Bowling Green. So
John, I gotta stop you real quick. They also did what mediocre teams do this year, and that's escape from Miami, Ohio with a win.
Let me ask this, Rocco. If they could dominate this conference, and it's so hard to dominate, especially with the rivals of the MAC here, I know they didn't beat anybody of note, but their only losses are tier one losses.
Very close games.
All on the road. Does this team get themselves on the bubble if they could blow through this MAC with just a loss or two?
Yeah, I mean, it's our classic hypothetical. I think they would definitely get looked at. I think by then, again, you're looking at high 20s wins, maybe even 30 wins. I think if you get 30 wins, you're getting in. I just think that's just such a unique thing and such a hard thing to do in D1. And hey, I'll say this, the MAC's got an emerging team in Ball State that's a quality team. You know, Ohio University is going to get better. Akron's got Enrique Freeman, who's a double-double machine. So it's more than just Kent State and Toledo. I think those five are solid. Buffalo can be, but they don't play any defense. So maybe six. But yeah, so it's not a slouch of a league. Kent State, I think you got to realize, just look at the Miami-Ohio game. And the game before was also a letdown, Western Michigan. It was only a two-point game, I think, with a few minutes to go. You got to realize Kent State's going to have a bullseye on their back every arena they go into, whether it's on the road or at home, because they've already established themselves. And that's going to be a difficult thing for Rob Senderhoff's Golden Flashes to navigate.
They got to go to Ohio this week. They've got to go to Akron there. They've got to trip to Buffalo. They've got to trip to Buffalo. I don't think they
can. Ball State, too.
I don't think they can dominate it. But if they did, it's an interesting discussion, I guess.
I think they.
It's not their style either.
They
like to win ugly a little bit. You know, look at the UTEP game. They won by one, and it was like 47 to 46.
There's the upcoming schedule for the conference. Again, the Kent State, Ohio, Kent State. At Eastern Michigan, the two games we're circling here. But let's keep things rolling here, Griggs, over to the MEAC.
The MEAC.
Where one of the last conferences to get conference play underway, but it is now underway, and we see Norfolk State off to the early 2-0 start, tied with Michigan State after week one.
Yeah, as we kind of expected. Didn't exactly blow Delaware State off the court like we were kind of expecting on Monday. I mean, that was a game that I think all of us were watching that Monday night, much more exciting than whatever the hell that football game was. But
game on Monday?
Rumor has it. Maryland Eastern Shore is worth a little bit of a mention. Formerly one of the worst teams, I think a former Centenary Award winner. Really elevating the level of their program, 5D1 wins overall, starting off 1-1 in the conference. I don't think, and I've been saying this really since November, I don't think anybody can stay with Norfolk State. I know that Howard's been brought up as is possible formidable, but I think the chances of them going 14-0 and then winning the three games in the conference tournament going for the undefeated double are somewhere around 50%. They're just so much better than everybody else.
All right. Here's the upcoming schedule. Howard at Norfolk State on Saturday. That might be one we want to circle. And I believe this game Monday, Morehouse at Howard. I believe that might be a national TV game. It's on FS1. So you get to see Howard play a little non-D1 as part of Martin Luther King Day here on Monday, Monday afternoon. So,
And I think part of that is because last year's Howard and Notre Dame game, Gus Johnson got COVID and wasn't able to broadcast it. And one of the big reasons he got scheduled is for Gus. He went to Howard. And I think you'll have Gus on the call here to try to make
that. That's good. Yeah.
Rocco, Missouri Valley Conference, one of the most disappointing conferences in the nation this year, I think. I don't even know. And you know, just when I was ready to buy into the trees, they go tonight and they lose a home game to Southern Illinois.
Well, you know,
Illinois team, but they lose at home.
Well, you know, Chad, my heart is so full of love when it comes to the Valley that I can never be disappointed.
Like it's the Northeast Conference.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not that big of a heart, but you know, the Valley Arch Madness this year is going to be so intense with only one bid on the line. It's going to be insane. But in the meantime, we're going to have a great set of games jockeying for position. I thought Northern Iowa Murray State was awesome last night. Kudos to the Panthers pulling that one out. And then tonight's game, Indiana State had an 11-point halftime lead, ends up blowing it. SIU, a strong team, great defensive team. Got a ton of stops, forced the Sycamores to make a bunch of mistakes. And, Shirt's got a tee. I think that changed the whole game when Indiana State's coach got teed up there. So kudos to SIU getting the road win. And now we've got a real race. Sycamores for a hot second had a two-game lead. That's gone. And a bunch of schools, as you can see on the screen, are within striking distance.
Yeah, I think there might be 7-8 teams that can win this conference tournament at the end of the day, too. It's
totally.
It should be a fun one. And if you want to see fun games, actually, there's a lot of them here. The big one I might circle is Saturday, Bradley at Drake. If you look at the metrics, at least, these are probably the two best teams or two of the three best teams of the conference.
Yeah.
We have a problem with Tuesday. There's an Ohio Valley conference.
Yeah, I was about to say that. We got an OVC game here Tuesday. Murray State at Belmont. Yeah. Don't know what's up with that. Apologize for that. That must be an error on the screen here.
Maybe they're playing in Maybe they're playing in Evansville. That's why they
probably have it. Sleek, why don't we go to the Ohio Valley while we're talking about it? And where SIU Edwardsville is sitting here at 3-1 now in conference play, tied with Moorhead, actually.
Yeah, we were expecting Moorhead to eventually wake up right here. But first, we'll get into the Cougars for Edwardsville right here. They get the home win against Tennessee State and also got a win against a spunky SIU team who spunky. Actually is based in Evansville right here.
Yeah, that's Southern Indiana, not Southern Illinois.
Yeah, there's a lot of SIUs around, but yeah. I guess the big difference between the OVC and the Northeast Conference, which is our feature conference, is you do at least have one team with a solid under the radar net at 117 with SIUE. The rest of the nets are garbage in this conference. But
right, if there's a team that could at least keep you from changing the station before the first half is over in the round of 64, it's SIU Edwardsville. They have a win at Longwood. They have a win at St. Louis, which certainly aren't bubble caliber wins, but pretty good. And I noticed John Tytel, who's excellent at guessing the selection committee, had Edwardsville on the 14 line, which is higher than what I was expecting. Not to get you two in an argument, does that sound right to you, Rocco?
Yeah, I mean, as you said that I was pulling them up. I've got an arbitrary seed list. It's not official. But yeah, right now I've got them at 58th overall, which would be the last 14 seed.
Okay. Wow.
And I think some of that has to do with some of the other teams that have popped up to the top, like your Milwaukee's, your Eastern Washington's, your New Hampshire's, who I have in as the America East. So without some of those, they'd probably be a 15. But yeah, they're the last 14. So there you go.
Yeah. Don't forget Edwardsville win at St. Louis, so it does give them a top 100 net win.
It does. Yeah that stands out.
They got a big game coming up Thursday night here at Eastern Illinois. Eastern Illinois, remember, won at Iowa. They didn't beat anybody else, but they won at Iowa.
They won their first two conference games and then have come crashing back down the earth.
Yeah, and I think if anybody in this league makes the NBA, it's definitely Rayshon Taylor of SIU Edwardsville. He's just a dynamite player, super talented, which, again, would make the league look great if he's in the tournament.
Let's keep things rolling here.
Just one more, like Rocco's team, the Little Rocco's, very disappointing this year.
Patriot League, Colgate picked up wins over Navy and a tough win Monday night at Army. Tonight they beat BU, now to a 5-0 start of overtaking American first place. And Griggs, this is where we thought Colgate would be, and I think they're starting to get there.
Yeah, really nice, really exciting win the night at Army.
Well, especially with Army American losing the game to Army tonight.
And American had a 7-game road winning streak going into that, second longest in the nation, only to Stephen F. Austin, who has 8. So Army finally figured out that formula, and both are 4-1. So that's Colgate's top competition right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. If we look ahead here, Colgate this week is going to be hosting Bucknell, and they're at Holy Cross. So they're not going to be facing Army or American this week. But
no, but they did last week. And again, they should win both of those. I think they'll be 7-0 when we're on the air next week.
Yeah. So let's just see when they've got those games coming up here, because those are the games we want to circle here, is their games against American and Army. And we'll see them here January 21st. February 4th, February 15th. So
yeah, well, they just won at Army the other night.
Right, so, right. You know. I'm just looking for their second game. That gives us American still a little ways away here. So keep an eye out for those coming up later on this season. Over in the SoCon here, Stalika.
Somehow
Samford keeps winning. Now, before we go any further, though, I need to apologize to everybody. Last week we hyped up the Samford Greensboro game. And we talked about it being the big rivalry, and then we were like, it's the Samboro Cup, and we kind of failed with the rivalry name. And I actually took a chance here, though. I have to tell you this. I went back to last year. I found our old rivalry creator that we used during championship week last year, and I fed these two teams because I said, it's got to be something better than that. And in fact, it was, and there it is. It was Green Eggs and Sam.
Oh my God. Oh God. We can stop the show. If anybody is still The few people that had made it this long have now changed the station.
Samford gets the win at Green Eggs and Sam, and followed it up with a win over Wofford tonight. 5-0. Rocco, you a believer?
Even by Hoops HD standards, that was bad.
I don't think you can find a streakier team than Samford. And I think that's been going on since Bucky was hired. They start the year 6-0, then they lose 7 straight. Now they've won 5 straight. There's no other team that has that big of streaks. That's all they have is a 6-game winning streak, 7-game losing streak, and now a 5-game winning streak. So, I think one of the big stories here is that Quest Glover continues to be out, who is by far their most talented guy. And they finally figured out how to win the last 5 games without him. A really good thing going on here with Bucky and the team. Blew out Wofford tonight. So, a good challenge with Chattanooga and maybe the best player in the SoCon, Jake Stevens, who had a monster night tonight, are coming to Birmingham Saturday. That'll be a good one.
And UNC Greensboro Furman on Saturday is another huge game in this conference. So definitely worth circling here. But
yeah.
Stalika, let me jump over to you for the Southland Conference.
Yeah, this is, again, we're going to be talking about Corpus Christi here. They get the win an Incarnate Word, and if we're talking about the other Texas A&M school being Commerce, they get the win at McNeese, and they get a split because they also lost at home against Nichols right here. And we're talking about Sela, who had a couple surprises earlier in the year. They're still hanging close to the top at 2-1, but once again, just a huge log jam right here at that spot.
Yeah, but I think the disappointment here is Northwestern State, another conference loss to at McNeese last week on Thursday night, Griggs.
Yeah, kind of a surprise, especially how good they looked right out of the gate in November, the win at TCU and some other solid wins. I want to say, did they beat Southern Miss as well? Or was it the other way around?
Southern Miss.
Yeah. So two really big wins, but then some real head-scratching losses. The other reason I like Northwestern State is that out of all the teams that are postseason eligible, they played the fewest non-D1 opponents. So shouldn't that put them up at number one automatically?
I like that rule. If there's a tie, that's
McNeese also only played one non-D1 game. So,
All right.
Here's the upcoming schedule: Corpus Christi at home this week, hosting Southeastern Louisiana. Interesting game here coming up tomorrow night, and then hosting New Orleans over the weekend. But let's Rocco over in the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Here we got Southern and Jackson State both undefeated, Grambling off to a decent start as well. But, maybe Jackson State's the biggest surprise 3-0 just because of how awful they were on conference.
Yeah, Grambling, I love you, but I'm not paying $7 to watch you play FAMU.
Okay.
Yeah, outside of the Little Rockos, Jackson State's schedule was brutal. And they lost to Little Rock by 3, but they did beat SMU, so there was a glimpse of that they could do something this year. And they got Alcorn right out of the gate, couple home wins. So great start for the Tigers. What Southern's doing has been pretty dominant. Their last win, notwithstanding, 102-75 over Bethune, really putting it to them. Beat Florida A&M by 18. Two big road wins at Prairie View and Texas Southern, which is historically the toughest two-game road trip in the SWAC, going to the Houston area and having to play those two. So they've already got that behind them. They're 4-0. And Grambling coming to town on Saturday, I think that'll be a pretty good game.
And maybe the story, though, Rocco, is look at the bottom of the standings here. Texas Southern, the perennial power, Johnny Jones squad is 0-4 here. And
that's my preseason pick, baby.
Not even look like they're going to make the top 8 and qualify for the SWAC tournament right now.
Yeah, I know they're dealing with, I think Carl Nicholas and PJ Henry are both injured. And I think a third guy's out as well, which starts to give them some reasoning for how on earth you lose to Mississippi Valley State on Monday. But Johnny's going to have to get it figured out. I think when they get to full strength, they'll start to put some wins together. So I'm not going to push the panic button quite yet. But if those guys don't come back anytime soon, they're in a ton of trouble.
Right. Big game Saturday, big rivalry game. And it's also big in the standings, Grambling Southern. It's the Bayou Classic in basketball. And so circle that in this conference here.
I will definitely pay $7 for that game.
Under the radar game of the day against Lika. That's
yeah,
the
30th
one that we previewed.
Good thing it's not at Alcorn State or you'd be paying $20.
Griggs,
this is to watch a stream. For crying out loud, $7.
Griggs, Oral Roberts continues to win in conference. They did step out of conference Monday night, lost by 7 at New Mexico. But
a really good game, though. I Rocco's been big on Oral Roberts. I wasn't a believer. I was much, even when they started losing, I still like South Dakota State. They went out there and they were really in there. It seesawed back and forth. It was never out of reach. I praise them for a loss, but you start to look at that in addition to with everything else they've done, the win against Liberty, how they're 4-0 in conference, some of their other competitive games, competitive at Utah State, competitive at St. Mary's. Oral Roberts, I like them not just more than anybody else, but I don't think I like anybody. I haven't seen anybody in this league that I thought was even close to them as far as how good they were.
And Rocco, I think we get the interesting bracketologist question here again. Let's assume they win out, which I think is a lot more possible than a team like Kent State suffering upset loss in the conference tournament. A gaudy record, only tier one losses, but nothing non-conference other than a home win over Liberty.
Yeah, I think it's a tough
that's
one.
A weak case. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weaker case. Their metrics are strong. You know, they've got the 22nd best adjusted offense. Top 80 KenPom, net somewhere around there, but their only top 100 win is a home win over Liberty, which they won by 14. No guarantees that Liberty stays there. As we've mentioned, ASUN is pretty tough. Now, in reality, I think as the season goes on, it's going to get tougher and tougher to win at the South Dakotas. They end the season there in more ways than one. They play the two games on the road there, then they stay there for the Pentagon, hosting once again the Summit League tournament. And you've got this wild card team in Kansas City, and it hasn't been mentioned yet, so I'll mention it. But Max Asemus hit a half court shot to beat Kansas City in Tulsa on Saturday, which was, if you haven't seen that, look that up.
Yeah.
They don't call him mid court Max for nothing. That's the second time he's hit a half court shot to win a game. Pretty incredible. And David, all the things you said, I agree with. They're a very strong team. Vanover and Asemus are the two best players in the league. They're on the same team. They run a great system. It's a beautiful offense. But yeah, the at-large thing is, you know, they would have to win all the way down to the finals of the tournament and probably lose to one of the South Dakota schools. I don't know if that's any of that's realistic.
Okay, yeah, they are hosting Western Illinois and St. Thomas this week. But let's keep
it
both.
Yeah,
things rolling along.
St. Thomas game will be in the hundreds.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Sun Belt Conference, what are we up to here? Griggs, I guess we're up to you. You know, the Southern Miss team we really like, and you know, James Madison has kind of struggled a bit in conference play. They suffered a bad home loss last Thursday to Texas State, but
Some of the teams, there was about four teams that I really liked coming in the league play, and maybe a fifth in Troy, JMU, Marshall, and James Madison and Marshall in particular kind of letting us down a little bit, but Southern Miss still going strong. They did have the loss at Louisiana, and it wasn't really close. I mean, Louisiana controlling most of that game, but if there's anybody that they're really going to be tested tomorrow night, I think, when they go to Marshall.
At Marshall, yep.
And if they can get that one, I don't know. I know that that probably doesn't land very high up on the profile, but Marshall's very, very tough to beat at home. I think the committee knows that, and they'll give them some credit for it. If there's a team that can run at the bubble, I think it's Southern Miss, because as good as Marshall, James Madison, and Louisiana can be, they haven't been consistently good enough, and they've lost some games that I think are going to hurt them. When it comes to when you're talking about being good enough to get on to or inside of the bubble.
Well, if you look at that game, this game is huge at Marshall, because if you look at the schedule, they only get James Madison once. It's going to be a home game. So really, and they've already played Louisiana on the road, so that'll be a home game when they play them again. Maybe the game at Troy is the next hardest game left on the schedule.
I think it is. Yeah.
So if they can win this game, again, this is a team that might Rock will be able to toe the ball with a little bit better of a case with these top 100 road wins on the resume, at least.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, if all that can come together for the Golden Eagles, that'd be such a fun ride for them. But I really don't see it. This league is just so even. I mean, you look at it, there's no undefeated teams, there's no winless teams, the travel's crazy. And every night you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, Louisiana Monroe almost started 4-0 after being like the complete worst team by far in non-conference. So if this league just seems like everybody's going to beat the crap out of each other.
This is typical for this league. Was it last year? I think it was, where we had six different teams at some point in the year, all by themselves in first place.
Yeah, I just note here, all 14 teams are going to Pensacola for the conference tournament. This could be a hell of a conference tournament.
Oh, it's
going to
be great
in March here.
I agree. And for the sake of the league, it is good if we get one story like a Southern Miss for Marshall where they can flirt with an at-large at least for, you know, 4 or 5 more weeks. That'd be great.
Yeah.
There's the rest of the upcoming schedule, though. Stalica, last full conference here, the Western Athletic Conference, where, you know, Sam Houston was the story, non-conference. Wasn't got to conference play. I think the story's been Utah Valley.
Absolutely.
Utah Valley, and also our old friends Stephen Effing Austin, who are also up to 4-0 right here. We did feature Utah Valley as our under the radar game of the day, so we won't have the result for that until you're watching the podcast tomorrow morning.
Yeah, but these are a couple of interesting profiles. Rocco, again, I mean, Sam Houston, they've got the wins at Oklahoma and at Utah. Utah Valley won at Oregon, won at BYU, has a head scratcher against Morgan State, but
at least it was on a neutral.
Yeah. But
hey, Morgan State's up to 228 in the net. You never know if they crack the top 200. That's a quad three. Otherwise, it's not your grandfather's Morgan State. They're pretty solid, but yeah, they're probably staying in Q4. But I love what Utah Valley's done. I continue to have them really high in my under the radar rankings. You know, right now I've got the game on. They're down 2 at Cal Baptist, so there's a little update for you. But very impressed with the combination of Trey Woodbury. I'm sorry, the second guy's slipping my mind right now, but they've got a real nice 1-2 punch. Mark Madsen, if this continues, he might be getting some phone calls for some big jobs at the end of the year. Because what he's been able to do with this group that didn't have a lot of expectations, it's speaking volumes. They're number 56th in strength of record right now, for example.
I believe that was Justin Harmon you're talking about at Utah Valley.
Yeah, so. Justin Harmon. He's had some huge, huge nights. The Oregon game stands out for sure. And then Stephen F. Austin, kudos to them. Two great wins. I'm still not going to sing their total praises until they do something on the road. They have won 8 straight on the road, but they just haven't played a tough road game yet. They're going to get some of those in the whack.
I'd say there's a few other teams that can compete in here, but bad news for the Grand Canyon Lopes as Blackshear is done for the season.
Done
probably
the
their second or third last season, an ACL tear there. So
that hurts.
That's going to hurt there. But you know, Seattle, you're right, is competitive. Southern Utah is going to be competitive here. So this is a fun one.
Don't forget, we mentioned Sam Houston. So
yeah. Fun Sam league. Houston's very, very, they're actually very talented. So yeah. Yeah, they should be around at the end.
Yeah. So here's the upcoming schedule. Here's Sam Houston's at Southern Utah on Thursday, whereas Utah Valley is going to be hosting Seattle. So there's some interesting games coming up this week as well. We also see Chicago State getting a couple of whack games in here, despite not being in the conference anymore. So, speaking
What's
of Chicago,
also going to be strange is Saturday you're going to have the pillow fight between New Mexico State and UT Arlington.
Speaking of Chicago State, though, they picked up a win Monday night, Griggs, over East West University.
It was massive. It was just out of control. Huge viewing parties. Just ESPN didn't even put a basketball game on Monday night because I guess they just didn't want to put any basketball up against this Chicago State East West game.
Hartford suffered their third loss of the season to St. Francis of Brooklyn. I believe they played 3 times this year. Here's the upcoming schedule for our two independents. Chicago State's at Tarleton, at UTRGV. Hartford's going to be at UMBC and at Morgan State.
Hartford probably going to win the centenary, unfortunately.
We'll see. They do have a D1 win, so there's a few teams out there without a D1 win yet. Let's jump to a couple of our favorite mythical conferences here, though. So checking out the standings of the Front Range.
We had overtime in the Front Range last week.
We had overtime. Air Force, the huge upset win at Colorado State to move to a tie with Colorado for first place in the Front Range standings.
Yes.
we've got coming up this week? Do we have any front range games on the schedule there?
Wyoming and Air Force.
Wyoming's
first conference game of the season.
Yeah.
Our newest conference.
The back range,
where Arizona continues to lead the way here.
Yeah.
Conference again that was kind of hurt by that New Mexico State series being
canceled. Yeah, that took a lot of fun out of that. Out of this, but I don't think we got any games this week.
No, I don't actually see any there. I could have missed one, but
how
about checking out the Beehive Conference?
The Beehive, love this league too.
Utah, the only undefeated team in conference because they haven't played a game, but
right.
But how about Utah, dead last?
I know, just not their year.
It really hasn't been. Do we have any Beehive games this week? I don't see any there.
No. Yeah. UNLV is at Utah State, but not a conference game.
All right. Yeah. I guess on that note, let's go to our top 10 list.
Yeah.
This is our under-the-radar top 10 list. We had a few less teams in the honorable mentions this week than in past weeks. It's starting to get down. But these are teams that receive votes and not make the top 10. UAB, who is still locked in a tight game late with Western Kentucky as we record this.
God.
Both Big West teams, UC Santa Barbara, UC Irvine there, along with James Madison and a pair of Missouri Valley teams, Indiana State and Drake. I don't remember ever in the past having no Missouri Valley Conference teams on the list, unless one was actually in the top 25. But
right, and then Drake barely getting an honorable mention. I don't know if they actually tallied a vote or just a mention.
You have to talk to Stalika about that.
Okay.
Let's go through the top 10. The number 10 is Iona.
Despite the loss. Okay.
At number 9, we've got Oral Roberts.
Oral Roberts cracking it. Yeah. All right.
At number 8, we got the Southern Miss team we just discussed out of the Sun Belt there.
Yep. Still having a good year.
7, after the loss, slipping a little tonight, but UNC Wilmington in there in 7th place still.
Yeah, and deservedly so. Dayton up to 6. Okay.
Yeah, Dayton is moving up this ladder. I think they were actually only an honorable mention last week.
Yeah.
Number 5, we got that Sam Houston team we just discussed out of the WAC. Mm-hmm. We got a two-way tie for 3rd between Utah Valley, also out of the WAC, and North Texas from Conference USA. Love this
one. Yeah.
Yep.
So our top 2 teams, number 2, Kent State.
Way up there.
I don't think it's any surprise here, but the number 1 under the radar team,
Florida International. Oh,
Florida Atlantic got the huge overtime win at FIU tonight. Remains number 1. That's our top 10 list. Let's go to final thoughts. Sleeka, you want to start us off?
Typically on Mondays when we're doing our under the radar game of the day, we're usually going to have an HBCU out of either the MEAC or the SWAC, maybe the occasional Big Sky game, but this Monday there's going to be a ton of under the radar games to enjoy with the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. So if you have the day off, enjoy as many games as you can. And even if you're at work on Monday, just find a smartphone, a computer someplace, and still enjoy all the games you can.
All right, good advice. Rocco.
Yeah, I guess Furman's a team that they definitely had their struggles early on. You know, losing a couple times in the Charleston Classic was disappointing. Team that we identified, I think, most of the offseason behind Mike Bothwell and Jalen Slauson as a team that will compete for an at-large. Clearly, that's out the window. That High Point loss just looks terrible after High Point's lost 7 in a row. But you start to look at these performances today, going to Mercer, end up being an 18-point win, but they're up by almost 30 most of the night. Winning at Freedom Hall over the weekend by 14. That's a game I did like 4 years ago. That's a very tough place to win in league. Furman's making it look easy. I think the signs may be starting to finally show up for the Paladins to get hot. So just keep your eye on them.
All right. Eye on the Paladins. Griggs, you want to finish off the show here?
Yeah, just finishing things up here. It is kind of surprising to see a lot of the leagues that are normally really strong. Horizon, the Colonials, pretty good this year, but particularly the Missouri Valley. Those are two leagues that we normally see flirting with the bubble, or at least a couple teams at the top of it, haven't been quite as impressive this year. But I think Rocco's right. It's just going to make for some really exciting conference tournaments, sort of as a consolation prize. But the leagues that are really doing well, Conference USA, The Colonial with two teams making a run at the bubble, the WAC, aren't typically the leagues that are really strong. So it's just kind of fun to see things upside down this year. And that Florida Atlantic, who doesn't have much history at all, making so much noise and maybe a week or two away from cracking the rankings along with Charleston.
Yeah, the FAU team with a one ever NCAA tournament appearance before, all the way back in 02. So they were in the CBI last year, though.
Yeah, I don't even remember the 02 team. I should.
It was it was a team that won by
Sun Belt team then. Yeah,
yeah, it was a team that won by 1 point in the championship game against Georgia State, and it was a rally as like a, I want to say like a 5 or a 6 seed position. So it was even unexpected that year.
Oh, I'm sorry, they were in the A-Sun. That might have been
A-Sun.
It might have been. Was it still with Trans-America then, or I think it was called the A-Sun back then?
Yeah, I got it. I put a picture up of the banner last week.
It was A-Sun.
Okay. Yeah.
A-Sun. Yeah.
All right. On that note, though, I guess I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We will be back again tomorrow night. We're going to do a bracket rundown show. Monday night, we'll be back with a Hoops HD report. When next Wednesday, another Under the Radar. But on behalf of John Stalica, David Griggs, Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.